The Monty Show is live on Periscope, Facebook, in your car. I'm kind of hoping some people are live in their bathroom listening to this. You know, all the regular fun stuff. If you're new to the show, my name's Monty. That's Monty Jr. or Jake.
What up?
Jake turned 23, ladies. We need some help. Jake is very single.
Okay, help. That's a rough way to put it. I've had bad luck. It's fine, okay?
Is it bad luck or a lack of skill?
Let's move on.
Moving on. Jake is very single. You can find him on Twitter at The Monty Show Jr. You can find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. Lots to get to
that's
today.
Right.
What?
Periscope.
What's up,
Jake? Jake from State Farm.
That's Fark. It says State Fark. If you don't follow
Same
us
thing.
On Twitter, The Monty Show, you can watch the show live. The Monty Show on Facebook, watch the show live. It's always a blast, and we're always rocking some kind of crazy music. Find us on iTunes. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes as well. Okay, we got the NFL, Dak versus Romo coming up. We've got the Raiders are back. The Cardinals are not back. Tom Brady. God, I want that guy's life.
Stud.
Stud. We'll talk. Who's the best wide receiver in the NFL? Just start percolating that in your brain right now.
OBJ.
I think it's not three letters, it's two. That'd be AB instead of OBJ. I am much more an Antonio Brown guy, but we'll talk about that coming up as well. So we've got the NBA. Blake Griffin's hurt again. We'll talk about what that means. Tim Duncan, is he a power forward or a center? And who's got the best shoes? And, of course, what would this show be? No, it's not Jordy Nelson. See, now I'm being distracted by comments on Periscope. What would this show be without talking about honking your horn while driving? And the Barclays Premier League, who's the best team after Liverpool pulled off a stunning extra time goal.
Diego.
Oh,
Diego.
Man.
Diego.
What a game that was. We will definitely talk some Chelsea as well. But I do want to start in the NFL because I'm a little worn out with the Dak Prescott's not very good comments. And I put a lot of this on the owner, Jerry Jones. If I'm Jerry Jones, I still have not mentioned Tony Romo's name because I don't understand, frankly, why Tony Romo is a point of conversation in the first place when Dak Prescott's got 3,400 yards, 20 touchdowns, four interceptions, 68% completed passes, 20 rushing first downs. Oh, by the way, the Cowboys are 12-2. If not for the New York Giants, Dak would be undefeated. Jake, are you at all worried about Dak Prescott?
Not because of Dak Prescott, because of Jerry Jones. I think it's Jerry. Yeah, sorry. My bad.
Jerry.
My bad.
Thank
sorry.
You.
Respect. I think for me, I'm not worried about him at all. I think, honestly, at this time in the season, it's Dak's team.
Yeah.
It is Dak's team. And if he, on Periscope, he's the guy saying he's going to choke in the playoffs. I don't know. He's never been. We'll find out.
Yeah.
But I'll take my chances with a 12-2 football team going into the playoffs.
Yeah, me too. And I think Dak has played well. And of course, the Tampa game we all saw on Sunday night was a real fight. The Cowboys wound up winning that game 26-20. Dak in that game goes 32 of 36, 279. He doesn't, throw any touchdowns. But he also didn't turn the football over, and he did run for a touchdown. I thought he was really efficient, and I thought he did everything that he needed to do to win the game. I think they are one of the best teams in the NFC, and it has absolutely nothing to do with Dak Prescott. I think it more has to do with Ezekiel Elliott and a great offensive line, and by the way, a secondary that tackles really well.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that stands out with Dak Prescott is the composure level for a guy of his age, and that's why I think he'll be fine in the playoffs. He's going to execute the game plan, he will stay calm, and he will create a play when there's nobody open. That's what he does. So I'm not too worried about it.
It was an interesting week in the NFL, and I say that because the Patriots are now 12-2. That win by the Dolphins, that was the stuff of dreams, 34-13 over a hapless Jets team. I think they're very good, or I shouldn't say very good. They're good enough to some damage. Yeah, they're good enough to do some damage. I think the story of the NFL this year is the fact that the Raiders are back in the playoffs.
And it's good for the NFL.
It is, and I think that's a real question. You're 11-3 if you're the Raiders. I think you have Derek Carr is one of the great stories in the National Football League. I think football is better, and maybe hit me on Twitter with this, the Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, the Monty Show. I think The National Football League is better when the Raiders are good. This is the first time they've been back to the playoffs since they got trounced in the Super Bowl. And I feel like, you know, whether it's Carr or, you know, obviously that defense is so much fun to watch. They get after the quarterback, they make plays, and I just think they have that certain something that makes the NFL fun. And if it's the autumn wind, they're not the Raiders that they used to be.
No.
Once Al passed, I think we can all agree that the Raiders are not the Raiders that they used to be.
Nope.
But I think they are a hell of an entertaining football team to watch, and I think the league's better for having them in the postseason.
They are, and the fans get after it. I mean, that's what that team really is known for, the fans, right? We all know it as the black hole. You know, you go there, you see gnarly things. I mean, it's just awesome. It's awesome.
You see gnarly things like, walking from Bart into the Coliseum.
Yeah.
And by the way, they are Oakland. I am not the guy who wants to see the Raiders play in Las Vegas or anywhere else.
Yeah.
They're the Oakland Raiders, which is where it should be. I think they're probably going to move, but I hope they stay there. But I think the Raiders are one of the great stories because I do think they are legitimately one of the best teams in the NFL because of the way they play football. I think Kansas City, I don't know how to explain them losing at home. To Tennessee. Somebody help me. How do you lose to Tennessee at Arrowhead? That makes no sense at all. Arrowhead's one of the most difficult places to play in the National Football League, yet Tennessee finds a way to go in there and win. What the hell was that about? And then I flip the script, and I'm wondering, you know, what about Pittsburgh coming all the way back on Cincinnati? And that's why I go to somebody like Antonio Brown when we're going to talk here in about 2 minutes about who the best receiver in football is. And for me, the question is, how good is Pittsburgh? That team right now seems to be playing with a certain swagger about them.
Confidence, man.
And Ben Roethlisberger, I don't love him as a human being, obviously, from his past, but I think Ben Roethlisberger brings you an intangible that you can't help respect.
Yeah.
And you can't help but look at him. And then I look at another team. How about Tom Brady and the New England Patriots at 12-2?
Every year.
Right, but what happened to Denver? What happened to Denver? Everybody thought, you know, Simeon was the answer, and I don't think Simeon's the reason they lost that game. I think that I don't know that they have enough weapons on the outside. I think certainly you've got to ask questions about, you know, what's the game plan week in and week out on that team when you only run the ball 17 times? Now, having said that, they were behind and they were not scoring, so I get that. But I think Devontae Booker's one of the great rookies that nobody's talking about. I think that defense is still pretty good, but they can't score points of late. I think this has been one of the most intriguing years in the National Football League that we've seen in some time. If I asked you right now, Jake, on what is this, December 19th, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
It's the Cowboys. That's who I'm taking.
I'm taking Pittsburgh. I'm taking Pittsburgh right now. If you held me down and said, hey, you got to pick one team, I'm going to take Pittsburgh because I think they have great veteran leadership on that team. They have playmakers. If Le'Veon Bell is healthy and not high, I think he's one of the best running backs in football. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are a team that can beat Tom Brady and the Patriots.
But I think for Pittsburgh, and I agree, they're solid, but it's the window is closing very quickly. You know, I think Ben's time is coming to an end, so they really need to get a move on.
Oh,
here.
There's a sense of urgency there. Yeah, no doubt. And everybody, like three people on Periscope are saying, well, I would take the Patriots, but that's so cliche. I think the Patriots are really good, but defenses change in the postseason. I mean, dramatically different defenses. And when you're the Patriots and everything is so compact into the middle of the field. Now, here's one story that I think is fascinatingly interesting. Michael Floyd signed with the Patriots, and he is that guy, he is that receiver that they've needed to get outside. Now, he obviously has issues off the field. The Cardinals cut him because he got another DUI, which is a big deal. I think we in this country, I think DUIs are not enough of a deal. That's another story or another day or another podcast, but Michael Floyd, the football player, is a nice fit in New England.
Yeah, nice fit. He's that guy that comes into the system and is better for it. Comes out the other side
absolutely
better.
Absolutely. Hey, one other story in the NFL I want to get to, because I think it's somewhat interesting. Gus Bradley, the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Gus Bradley was fired, went on to say how great the ownership is. Will Jacksonville ever win a Super Bowl?
No.
In our lifetime, I'm 43, you're 23, however old everybody is who's watching us.
No.
Do you believe that Jacksonville will win a Super Bowl in your lifetime?
No.
I think it's possible.
Well, of course.
Hopefully I'm going to live another 60 years. Maybe it happens in 60 years. This is not a surprise, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are as irrelevant as one could possibly be.
Yep.
And I don't think anybody cares.
No, nobody cares.
Doug Marrone took over as the interim head coach. You're not going to get a great, a big-time head coach. Look at Jack Del Rio with the Raiders. He goes from Jacksonville to Oakland. They do a better job building an organization. They get Derek Carr, Latavius Murray, you know, again, Mac the stud, and they do a better job surrounding each player with better talent. Jack Del Rio, who wasn't good enough after a decade in Jacksonville, starts winning in Oakland. While they drop Blake Bortles, it's not the players on the field. It's not even necessarily the coach. It's the front office. It's the ownership. And Jacksonville's never had it. Why does Cleveland still suck out loud to this day? Because losing's okay. And in Jacksonville, losing's always been okay. And it's not okay. So I don't think anybody... Do you even care that Gus Bradley got fired? Does it matter to you at all?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter to me.
Nope.
Either. Not in the least bit. Who's the best receiver in the NFL? Jake?
Odell Beckham.
Okay, why?
I just think he's a stud. He's a big wide receiver, as they come. 5'11". Almost 200 pounds. That's solid. He has great feet, great hands. And I just think he has that swagger about him that you know you're going to throw that up to him, and he's going to go get it. Whether it's one-handed or two-handed, he's catching that ball. And I think it's that simple. So, I don't know. Who you got?
I'm taking Antonio Brown. I'm taking AB. There's no doubt in my mind that it... So, just to have on your team... Best wide receiver to have on your team. I'm taking Antonio Brown because he's fast, he's got great hands, and he's tough as nails. I have one play to win a game. Nobody is better at getting open than Antonio Brown because he's fast, he's got great hands, and he's tough as nails. Now, the difference between Antonio Brown, and if you know what I'm going to say, beat me to it. The difference between Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham's not much. It's Eli and Ben.
Yep.
Ben Roethlisberger's a better quarterback than Eli Manning. And if I'm looking at a receiver, I think a wide receiver is only as good as a guy throwing him the football. And by the way, Odell Beckham, you cannot overlook the fact this year that he got his ass whooped by a kicking net. I have some trouble. I have some trouble overlooking that. Tweet search it. It's there.
That's
when
awesome.
He was going That's through his awesome. Mental meltdown, Odell Beckham Jr. got his ass whooped by a kicking net. You know, and I, by the way, I follow AB on Snapchat. He's
he
a pretty good
awesome
Snapchat follow.
Yeah.
He fires his chef and the chef instantly becomes a star. I thought that was interesting. But you know what? I think it's an interesting discussion in that I don't think there's a wrong answer. Larry Fitzgerald is one of the leading wide receivers by catch in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
That team's terrible. Is that his quarterback's fault? No, it's more his secondary's fault.
Yeah.
So I think a wide receiver is only as good as his quarterback, who's only as good as his offensive line, who's only as good as the defense that keeps them off or on the field.
Yep.
So it's formulaic. And I think formula-wise, nobody does it better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, maybe the Patriots, but the Pittsburgh Steelers do a pretty damn good job of that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why I'm taking Antonio Brown. Do you care to fight at all for Odell Beckham Jr.? And if you say it's because he's blonde, I'm kicking your ass.
You know, I can't say that. No, that's not true. I just think he's got... They both have a ton of swag. They both know they're the guy. I just like the way Odell plays, man. He's in your face. He's, you know, fighting Josh Norman on the field. He's you know if you're guarding him, if you're defending him, it's going to be a long day for you. You're getting beat up if you're playing Odell Beckham Jr., and I just love that.
How about Lauren Miller on Twitter? Lauren J. Miller on Twitter says Mike Evans from Tampa.
See, I think the thing
a year from now, it might be Mike Evans from Tampa, though.
Mike Evans is the guy you just throw it up into the end zone and you play basketball.
He's a big dude.
He's a big guy. I just don't think he's not the best wide receiver in football yet. But he's working. He's working. He's working.
Yeah, Mike Evans is close. I never thought I would say this. Forgive me just before I even put the words out of my mouth. Jameis Winston is a good quarterback. Are you proud of me? I never thought I would say that I at all enjoyed Jameis Winston. I never thought that I would in any way, shape, or form enjoy Jameis Winston. But watching him, and again, maybe this is the primetime football thing, but watching Jameis on Sunday Night Football, I was thoroughly impressed until he started headbutting people and getting penalties that took him out of a drive that probably cost him the game. Hey, but other than that, Jameis Winston, that team is a team. And by the way, Dirk Cutter, who's been a perpetually fired guy around the NFL, is leading that Tampa team, and they are quite enjoyable. And I think they're in every game. You know what I mean? I find it interesting.
See, I think the difference for Jameis is he's not in the college town anymore. He's not in that setting. He's in a professional environment where he's getting paid to play football.
Well, and he absolutely changed the way he does business.
Yeah, he totally changed it. Yeah. He adapted. He is now where he needs to be off the field. Yeah. And I think that's a huge deal.
I agree with you. I think it's a very huge deal. All right. Make sure you find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. That's how you find us live on Periscope. You can also search us on Facebook, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, to watch this show live. When we do it live, we always do it on Facebook and on Periscope. What's up to you guys? Let's talk a little Blake Griffin in the NBA. Blake Griffin tweaked his knees out 3 to 6 weeks. Jake, what does that do to the beloved clip joint?
They're just always that team, man. They're always the, this is a special team this year. We're going to win a ring, yada, yada, yada.
They're 20-8.
Great. They're
today,
not going to be there.
Today, Monday, December 19th,
they're not going to be there. Mark my words, they are not going to be there.
Okay, so here, again, just a quick assessment of the Clippers.
Yeah.
They're a team that runs. They don't defend a whole heck of a lot, but that's okay. They give up 102 points a game, but they also score 110 points a game. Which is not the formula you want to win a championship. I think it's more likely the San Antonio Spurs scoring 104, but only giving up 98. It's what worries me about Golden State. Having said that, Blake Griffin's a huge part of that Clipper team. I think this is a big problem for the Clippers. I do think they are legitimate when Blake Griffin's on the floor.
Here's the problem. The Clippers are a transition team. They are not a half-court offense team. So when you get to the playoffs and you have elite defenses, the Cavaliers, the Spurs, the Grizzlies, you're not doing anything. You're losing the 5-7 game series because they're a transition team. They need to run. So they'll win their home games, but there's no chance they're going to win on the road. It's just not going to happen.
He is their leading scorer. He is their, I think, second leading rebounder behind DeAndre Jordan. He gives you 5 dimes a game. I think he has come a long way. His shooting percentage has improved dramatically. I don't know how you replace his production because you don't have anybody on the bench, frankly, because it's not Maurice Spates.
Nope.
That's just not who that guy is. You don't have anybody on your bench who does anything remotely close to what Blake does. And now I have to ask myself, well, who's going to score? It's going to fall to guys like Chris Paul, who is definitely a pass-first guy, even though I think he's at like 18 points a game. It's going to fall to J.J. Redick. It better not fall to DeAndre Jordan, because I don't think DeAndre's a guy who, you know, if he scores 12 points a game, let's say, with Blake Griffin healthy, are you telling me that DeAndre Jordan's a guy that is going to all of a sudden kick up to 20 points because Blake's not in the lineup?
No.
I agree with you 100%. I don't see that. I don't see that happening. So again, I just ask you, where do they go from here? And I don't think they go far. And I think the fall is going to be both long and painful down the Western Conference standings because.
But like, so you have the team, you have the Western Conference in front of you there. Match them up against who in the Western Conference? So
Utah.
They're better than Utah.
No, the Jazz are better than they are.
Without
Blake, the way that that Jazz team plays and the way that they defend, I wish the Jazz scored 4 or 5 more points a game, because if they would score 104 points a game, that team would be one of the best teams in all of basketball because they're so tenacious defensively. And with Gobert in the middle, I mean,
Gobert's an elite defender. That doesn't make them better than the Clippers, though, in my mind.
Oh, I think they are. I think that they're within two games of the Clippers right now. Without Blake Griffin, I think they're better. Memphis, I don't like Memphis at all. I never have.
Memphis is that defensive beast.
Memphis is that team who sits on your chest and smacks you in the face for four.
The whole series, they're going to do it to them. The whole series.
Four games behind the Clippers right now.
Man, that's tough. I'll take the Clippers over OKC.
Portland, 13-16, three under in the A spot in the West. I'll take the Clippers.
Clippers. Yeah.
I think that.
Sorry, Dame.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
The Nuggets, no.
No.
The Kings are trash. DeMarcus Cousins is an embarrassment to the NBA. The Lakers, I think. The Lakers, don't forget the Lakers. And I know it's only Christmas time and it's too early to say any of this or that.
I'd just like to see them make the playoffs. That's it.
I think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, all they need to do this year, just make the playoffs.
They got to stay healthy to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think Luke Walton's made a huge difference on that team. I don't understand how the Pels, that's so dumb. I don't understand how the Pelicans are this bad.
There's no
cohesiveness. The Suns are terrible. How are the Timberwolves this bad? They're 7-19.
Yeah, I don't know. They need to get it going. They have a lot of young talent. So
young talent. That team can't stop anybody.
Yeah,
they can't stop it. They score as much as anybody. They can't stop anybody. So yeah, I think this is a big deal. I think the Clippers are in real trouble. 6 weeks in the NBA is a long time.
Yeah, that's a lot of games.
That's February. You're pushing the All-Star break at that point. I think that's a long time. I think they're in trouble. Obviously, we can't go much further talking the NBA without talking about Tim Duncan. They retired his number after the game last night, and it was unbelievable to see Greg Popovich and just all of the, R.C. Buford and all of his former and current teammates. I mean, people were in love with this guy when he played, and just to see the respect and the admiration for Tim Duncan, I was really moved by that. I was really impressed.
Think for once we saw the real Greg Popovich, a guy who was speaking from his heart. You know, the camera angle they had was him looking, we were seeing Greg Popovich's face looking right at Tim Duncan, and it was as real as it gets.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
Is Tim Duncan a power forward or a center?
What year are you talking about? Are you talking about today's game or the early 2000s?
Just in general, because
today's game, he's a center. Back in the day, he's a power forward. And I think
so. You're saying with David Robinson, he was a center.
Yes.
And Tim was a power forward. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think David Robinson was clearly a center.
Yeah.
I think after the Admiral retired, I think he was a hybrid. I think their offense doesn't need a label. I think he's one of the best big men, but so many people want to put him in a box and say, oh, he is a, I think he's a power forward.
He's a 4-5. It is what it is. In their offense, he's not defined. He's the big man. It's just that simple. And that's why they were so successful, because they have a ton of flexibility. They pass the ball extremely well, and it's that simple.
Yeah,
they cut right through the defense.
I agree 100%. I'll say that he is – I'll say Tim Duncan's a power forward. I'll go with that because I think he's earned the right to call himself whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
I think he's that good. Who's got the best shoe in the NBA, Jake?
Man, that's really tough because I feel like the shoe game in the NBA is pretty weak now that Kobe's gone. So I'm going to go with Kyrie.
His shoe's still out.
Yeah, well, it is, but it's not Kobe wearing Kobe's shoe, so I don't count that. I count it as the guy who's playing.
Okay, so
Kyrie,
LeBron, what are the
KD,
possibilities?
Lillard, Westbrook. I'm going Kyrie.
James Harden has a new shoe out that I don't
like
Adidas.
At all. I'm not an Adidas guy.
I'm not an Adidas guy
so
either.
No Lillard, no Harden.
No D Rose. By the way, how did Derrick Rose go to New York and get lost? I mean, the guy's just not a factor there. Anyway, I really like the KD9.
It's a beautiful shoe.
I hated the KD8, honest to God.
Yeah.
I didn't like that shoe at all. But I love the KD9. I think the nice thing about the KD9 in my mind, and I'm talking about the all black one, the nice thing about the KD9 is you can wear that with jeans. You can wear that
it's
on
a solid
the floor.
Shoe.
You can wear it at the gym. You can wear it to we go to a lot of raves. Here on the Monty Show, We rave it out. You can wear it to a... What? Why are you looking at me like that? I rave. People rave about me. I mean,
you
it's
rave
what
about
we do.
KD's shoe.
It's what
it's
we do. I
simple.
Am raving about KD's shoe. Yeah. I think it's a versatile shoe because I don't wear... When I play ball, I wear a KD3, I think, is my favorite shoe.
I think it's a 5, actually. KD5.
Is it a KD5?
I think it's a the high top.
Because of the camber that's in that shoe. Yes, it is a KD5.
Yeah.
I like the LeBron 10 low, personally.
LeBron 10 has to be one of the best shoes of all time, though. I mean, full Air
ever
Max,
made.
The whole
ever
thing.
Made. Yeah, and the different colors and... The fly wire, and I
but
love
now
that
his
shoe
has just regressed something terrible. It's a boot at this point.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. Have you ever been a fan of the Soldier?
Yeah, I mean, it's clean. I'm not a huge fan of straps, but Kyrie's shoe has straps.
You
so.
Don't like strapping on the shoe?
Easy. Take it easy.
What?
Take
I'm
it
talking
easy.
About a shoe,
Take
people.
It easy.
It's a family show. What about Curry's shoe?
It's just so simple. I have a pair. It's a good shoe to play in, but they're just, they don't.
You can't wear it out of the gym.
They lack flair.
Yeah, you can't wear it out of the gym. You know, I think if I had to go with one shoe, I think I'm probably a KD guy at this point.
On court, I'm going Kobe. If I'm going to wear any shoe, it's probably Kobe's shoe.
Yeah.
Off the court, I'm probably going KD.
Off the court, it's the KD9 for sure. On the floor, I'm not sure how you don't go Kobe at this point. I think it's Kobe or the KD9.
Yeah.
Because I really like Kobe's shoe.
It's just slick.
It's always good looking. It's always popping, Kobe's shoe. The thing, and I know I'm going to sound like a fuddy-duddy old man, get off my porch because I'm not paying $200 for a pair of basketball sneakers. The price does bother me. And Kevin Durant's shoe, for those of you who know or maybe you don't, Kevin Durant's shoe used to be like $150. Okay, I can handle that. But Kobe's are so gosh dang expensive. I mean, that's a $220
shoe. It starts at $160 and goes up from there. And that's all you need to know.
That's a lot. Dude,
that's
a lot
of money,
bro.
Dude.
That's
for
a
one
lot.
Shoe.
The Kobe 11 at Nike.com is $160.
Yeah.
It's a lot of jack, man. And it really is disappointing to me that Durant's shoe, his shoe... Okay, how do I say it? The KD8 was one of the most disappointing. I wore that shoe twice and sold it on OfferUp.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
I wore it twice and then sold it on OfferUp. I'm not kidding. And granted, his shoe is now, I think it's $125, so it's again reasonable. But man, I didn't like that. LeBron's shoe is not Jordan's shoe. I'm never going to love LeBron's shoe, but the LeBron 10 Low is the best shoe I've ever played in.
Yeah.
Now, just straight basketball kicks I'm walking around the street in, a Jordan 9, black and red, forget it. It's over. That's the shoe that I love that shoe. I love the way it looks. I also happen to love the, man, what shoe is that? I want to say it might be an 8. There's so many of them, the 2, the 3, the 7, the Olympic 7. I could go on and on and on. The 12, absolutely. The Jordan 12 is just unbelievable. I'm a Michael Jordan guy growing up in Chicago.
But now they're like $400.
Yeah, there's just no
point.
I'm
not paying $400.
And by the way, I don't like the new ones that Russ is wearing all the time. That's not my shoe, man. I'm not a huge fan of that. Anyway, that's my favorite shoe. So what did you decide on? What shoe are you going with?
I'm going Kobe. I just, there's not a great alternative. Honestly, there's not.
So you're going with Kobe. I'm going to go KD9. I think that's the best shoe in the NBA. Hey, real quick, by the way, I upset you the other day driving around. I honked my horn a lot. I'm that guy.
We get it. You drive a Beamer. Okay, wait, we get it.
Yes, I drive a BMW 535i.
M Sport.
But I don't honk. I shouldn't say that. I don't honk my horn a lot. When I do, it's generally for about 35 or 40 seconds. What? Am I lying? I don't honk my horn often, but when I do honk my horn, I'm the guy who lays on the horn and lets you know that the horn is honking.
So the best example I can ever give, and this was awesome, thoroughly awesome.
Here we go.
This little, I think it was like an old Chevy Beater. It was like an old Chevy car. I can't remember what kind of car it was. It's Chevy. And we're getting off the freeway. We're merging right. The Chevy's getting on the freeway, merges left, right in front of us, cuts us off. Just to get back off the freeway, honking your horn all the way up the off-ramp, all the way through the light cycle, and then the Chevy proceeds to get back on the freeway going the other direction.
Drivers in Arizona are terrible.
Terrible.
I mean, they're off. I've lived in a lot of places because for radio, and drivers in Sacramento are probably the best. Drivers in Utah used to be the worst, but now it is easily. Drivers in Arizona are terrible. It's dangerous to drive the streets of Arizona. And I am the guy who I don't mind using my horn. And I'm not, I don't go beep, beep. That's not my thing. What?
It is a full on like flex of the arm.
Yeah. Well, I sometimes out of nowhere, and it's usually when I want to honk my horn, my tricep locks up into like an extended thing and the horn just, and I'm the guy who holds my horn for like 30 seconds because it really bothered me what you did. But now, with all the road rage murder that's been going on, I have made it a point not to honk my horn as much because I don't want to die. Frankly, I do not wish to die, so I don't honk my horn as much.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Have I gotten better at it?
Yeah, you've gotten better.
But also, by the way, I'm not a road rager.
But here's the thing.
Road rager. And yes, I carry a gun in my car just so...
Well, but that's...
To be clear, I have a permit.
You don't do that because the drivers. That's a different thing.
We do that for personal protection.
Yeah.
I almost don't go anywhere without personal protection.
Yeah.
And not Jimmy's. I'm talking about... anyway. That came out way wrong. I apologize.
Whoa.
I apologize. But... I'm not a road rage guy. What? I am not a road rage guy. Don't be a jerk. Am I a road rager?
No, you're not a rager, but it becomes there's a line, and often you push that line a little further each time. It just creeps out a little more each
better,
time.
Better driver, me or you?
Oh, well, it depends who's, you know, are you in the passenger seat or not?
When I'm in the passenger seat.
So here's the thing. When you're my passenger, you tend to flip out over little things.
Because he's a terrible driver.
Right. Okay. Sure. Anything you say, Chief.
Okay, boss.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
You're a worse passenger than you are a driver.
I'm a terrible passenger. I admit that. I'm a terrible passenger. Yeah. Awful.
Awful.
Awful. So I freely admit that.
But the problem is we spend so much time in the car that I can't really blame you for losing your temper a little bit with drivers. Just because it is so frequent, people just don't look.
Arizona's terrible.
They don't even look. You'll be driving down the road, and someone will turn right into the traffic flow and just completely cut you off. Like, just won't even look. They'll just go.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable. How do you not look?
It's not even old people. A lot of people, the knee-jerk reaction is people say, well, it's because it's old people. No.
Perfect example right here. We have the 60 East and the 101. Those are the two major freeways we drive.
Yeah.
And there's a large, snaking interchange between the two. And it's probably a good mile worth of an interchange. Yeah. Mercedes-Benz.
I know the story is going to
It's usually, most people do 75 through there. And the Mercedes is doing 60. So, of course, we get stuck behind the Mercedes. You would think that this guy's an older gentleman. You would think that he's distracted. No, not distracted at all. Driving a perfectly capable car. Oh, we're just going to go 60 the whole time. And we're not going to speed up to merge onto the 101. We get next to him. Ah, just a 40-year-old dude. Just, 10 and 2 right down the way. Get a BMW, not a Benz.
I mean, tunnel vision. Great game this afternoon, Monday, December 19th. Liverpool, Everton, one of the most entertaining games of the year. Liverpool wins it 1-0.
Nil.
1-0, thank you. They win it 1-0 in the most improbable fashion. Sturridge comes on, makes a pretty cool play, hits the post, and Sadio Mane winds up finishing it, and they find a way to get the points. Every one of them. Everton was devastated. I cannot even believe it. And it makes me wonder, how good is Liverpool? Jake, are they one of the best teams in the Barclays Premier?
They're one of the best. They're not better than Chelsea. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Chelsea fan. My problem with Liverpool is that they don't have the guy. They have Henderson, who is kind of their guy. But look at today's result. You went 95 minutes without scoring. And then Sturridge comes on, you know, clanks one off the woodwork, and Mane goes in and finishes it.
Mane.
And it's just one of those things where they don't have the guy. They don't have the guy.
They don't.
And that's why I think Chelsea is the superior team. You know, every week Diego's going to go out, with the exception of, you know, this coming because he's suspended now. But he's going to go out and he's going to beat up the opposition.
But I think in all due respect to Liverpool, I think they're the second best team amongst a bunch of really good teams.
Yeah.
I don't think there is a best team in the Premier League right now. I don't think, and I'm a massive Chelsea fan. If you're watching on Periscope, that's a championship flag, and these are scarves, and I'm a huge Chelsea fan. But, you know, as much as of a supporter of Chelsea as I am, I don't think they can keep up their current pace. I don't. And we may be leading this league right now, but I see a lot of flaws. January, we have to have a good window. I think Chelsea's in the discussion. Liverpool's in the discussion. Arsenal and Tottenham are in the discussion. I do not think City or United are in the discussion at the moment. I just don't think Manchester City defends enough. And I think United, my biggest concern is United's finding themselves. And whatever Ibra has been eating for breakfast lately has been working, because Zlatan has been everything that they hoped he would be.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. So if I got to nail you down to have you pick one team that's the best team in the Premier League, who are you going with?
The Blues, man.
You're going Chelsea.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing wrong with that, because I think they have earned that, because when you win 11 straight, when you only have given up 11 goals... when you're 14-2-1, I think that's fantastic.
You're leading the league, and then you need to have a good window, as opposed to being fifth in the league and needing to have a good window. They can only improve. You know, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what Pep does at City, because you got to know that Pep's not going to sit here and watch his team languish. And hey, at 36 points, they're right in the middle of this thing. By the way, Chelsea's at 43 points heading for Christmas, 37 for Liverpool, 36 for City, 34 for Arsenal. I don't know what to make of the Spurs at 33 points. I think they could go either way. I think Jose and United are playing much better football right now, much better football. And I don't think anybody else has a chance to win the championship. I mean, Southampton's in seventh.
What, you don't think Leicester's going to repeat?
No. How about that story? Leicester's a great Champions League team, but they're 15th and only 3 points clear of the relegation zone.
Yep.
If they're not going to get relegated, they're too talented, and they'll figure it out when the weather warms up, but good night. But, I mean, teams like Everton, we saw today that Everton just doesn't have the quality. Everton doesn't have the – they don't link up. They don't come out of the back well. You know, to me – and by the way, Liverpool's biggest issue is – that, again, they don't have a goalkeeper. They don't have a guy, and whether it's Karius or Mignolet, they don't have a guy that can distribute the ball or catch the ball.
Yeah.
And until they find a keeper who can do both of those things, they're not going to win. But, boy, Liverpool certainly somehow, some way, finds a way to win games. So I don't count anybody out. I'd love to tell you that Chelsea's a lock at this point on 11 in a row, but they're not. They really are not. So it'll be interesting. Boxing Day is going to be great. The day after Christmas is Boxing Day, for those of you who don't know. And coming up, Chelsea do not have Conte, and Chelsea do not have Diego in that game. Those are, in my opinion, no offense to Hazard supporters, I think Conte and Costa are their two most important players.
Yeah.
No question. Absolutely. When they're out of the lineup, I don't know what
it'll be. A good test. It's a test.
I personally hope for Chelsea. I hope Batshuayi gets some run.
Yeah.
Here, I hope they put him up top, and Hazard's obviously going to feel more pressure, and you know, I think Moses is going to do what he does, which is do spectacular things unspectacularly.
But see, I think Hazard lives in that moment. He wants that role.
Oh, he does.
So I don't see any issue with that.
I don't. I you're right. But, I mean, the schedule is interesting. The derby with Tottenham's coming up on January 4th.
Always
then
exciting.
Then it's Leicester. Then it's Hull. You know, in between there, Stoke is there as well.
No, get out of here.
Well,
get out
of here. See, again, I think, and there's a lot of Liverpool fans right now as well talking about it. I think Liverpool's there.
They're solid. I'm not saying they're a bad team.
If Klopp has money and can go out and do things in January and bring in some talent, Coutinho's got to stay healthy. And if Mignolet's their number one keeper, they're not going to win the league.
No.
Because he will at least once a game kick
scare
a ball.
You.
Yeah,
he'll scare you.
Yeah, he'll have a moment once a game. No question about it. So I love the Premier League. I think this is going to be one of the great second halves that we have ever seen. You get to Christmas in the Premier League and you start to understand where everybody's at. And I know there's a lot of City fans that listen to this podcast. Guys, I don't think you're doing very well. You know, I don't know what to say about that. Manchester City just does not impress me, and it'll be interesting. Hi on Periscope.
What up?
I don't know what to say about Pep and City. I really don't. Don't discount Liverpool. I know they're not spectacular, but you know, again, in a derby game like you know you had against Everton today, they found a way to win.
I'm not discounting him,
but look at how that happened. That's Daniel Sturridge, who's been out of that side and really has been cast off through injury and inconsistency, and yet he's healthy now. Jurgen finds a way to put him in there, and he makes a play at the critical moment, and it's a spectacular play too. And I know nobody will talk about what he did. He dribbles across the box and shoots back opposite to the far post at that point and hits the post.
Clearly, he beats the keeper
Everton,
easily.
Every Everton, the back line for Everton should have bought a ticket because they were
ticket.
Watching.
Yep.
You want to watch a game, buy a ticket.
Yeah.
But their back line was terrible. Williams stood there and watched Sadio Mane get in there, beat him to the ball, and pounded it home. And all of a sudden, instead of splitting points, they take all three. And now they're in second place, and they're right back where they always are, which is on the verge.
But this always doesn't, on the verge.
But this doesn't feel like the team that breaks the Suarez, you know, Gerrard curse that was three or 4 years ago. This doesn't feel like the team. To me, I like Firmino. He's not a number one. I like Sadio Mane, but he's not a number one.
That's what I'm saying. They don't have a guy.
Right, but they do. And it's Coutinho. Coutinho is
okay. Well, then he needs to step up. Because,
well, he needs to get healthy.
Yeah,
and he needs to stay healthy, and he needs to be on the field. It's the same thing with Sergio Aguero.
Yeah.
Never mind the fact that the guy's a jerk, and I think he tried to hurt David Luiz.
Yeah.
But without him on the field, City are not nearly what they should be.
No.
And without Coutinho on the field, LFC are just not what they should be. The Reds are a much better team when Coutinho's on the field. But if you're going to pin me down and say who's the best team, I'm going to say Chelsea because they're on the middle of what could be a historic run. They've won 11 straight games. So the one, but I, how can I, and I'm trying to be nice. I find it so enjoyable that Arsenal are struggling. And when I say struggling, they're fourth on 34 points.
Yeah.
9 points out.
Yeah.
I love it. I think Arsenal, until Wenger's not there anymore, I don't think they ever win because I just don't like his style of play. He is a terrible talent evaluator these days. Sanchez should have been under contract a long time ago. Olivier Giroud is not even in the side at this point. I love that Arsenal's struggling because I can't stand him. Arsenal's the one team I just don't want to look at. I don't like the Manchester clubs. I don't like Arsenal. Arsenal's a team that if they never win another game, it'll be too soon.
There you go.
If they never take more points in the Premier League, it'll be too soon. But anyway, that's it. Hey, show's over. We're three songs deep right now.
Yeah, you know, we'll just keep on going.
I could keep on going, but I probably shouldn't. They didn't want us to have another one, Jay.
So we had another one.
Hey, follow us on Twitter, The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. Follow us on Facebook, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, is where you find us. Search iTunes. No matter where you're getting this podcast, search iTunes for The Monty Show. That's it. It's over. Jake, say goodbye.
Goodbye, Jake.
Like a slave, put chains all on your soul and put whips up on your back. They be lying through their teeth. Hope you slip up off your path. I don't switch up, I just laugh. Put my kicks up on their desk, unaffected by their threats.